Legal Tale, a podcast with fascinating people from the new generation of legal professionals about change, life, and laws. Hello, Isabel, and thank you very much for accepting my invitation today.
Thank you for having me here, Ana Maria. I'm thrilled to be here in your podcast.
As you might know from what I explained to you before, we'll discuss more about remote work for legal professionals. Jumping directly in the discussion, tell us more about what you do and how your remote work looks like.
Perfect. I started doing remote work in March last year since the pandemic. I was working in an insurance company. We have this blended system where you can work from home for a few days and then work at the office. Then I started to freelance for an alternative legal service provider from Chile, which is my home country, from Barcelona. And then now I'm working in a law firm here in Barcelona, and we have also this blended system when we work a few days from home and a few days from the office.
And how long have you been working at this new company?
I've been working there for around 2 months now.
Okay. So how it was your contact with remote work? Did you work remotely from the beginning? Things started to change maybe after the pandemic or maybe not?
This was very interesting because it was actually a full experience doing remote work. This was fully remote. Everybody was working remotely at the time. And because of the nature of the service provider, everybody worked remotely always. And it was super challenging because in my case, I have the issue with the time difference, which is a lot from Barcelona to Santiago. They were like 6 hours time difference. And I do sales. So when I did, you do sales, you need to meet clients, and it's always challenging to find the right time. And I think it was a good experience overall, but it was very, very challenging because of it was the first time I did it. Actually, I was not really used to it, to have a boss so far away or teammates so far away. So it was crucial for me. It was crucial, the onboarding part of the process, where you get to meet everybody, understand the processes, internal processes, what tools they use. I think when you work remotely, this is super important, more than when you work in an office, which is easier to get these things done on a daily basis.
And how did your onboarding process look like?
In this case, it was super good because we have meetings with everybody from each department. They all took the time to explain to you one-to-one what they were doing, what were they using, which tools were the most adequate for each kind of process, for example, to meet clients or to share files or to have everything regarding cybersecurity was super important because we're sharing files all the time and information that was super sensitive. And I think it's very important for me. The most important part is to understand and to know who are your teammates or who are you working with. Because in some cases, I have issues. For example, I have a meeting with a client and somebody pop up during the meeting. I didn't know who he was, and he was a teammate. And we just met there, and it was kind of awkward for the client because the client thinks maybe these people are not so coordinated. So things like that, when you, for example, send an invitation by Outlook, by your email, and then it gets resent many times, and you get notifications, and you don't know who are the people who are actually attending a given meeting. So I think coordination and having like a clear set of rules from the beginning are super, super important.
And you said also about the security measures that were very important and put in place from the very beginning.
Exactly, because if you are working with your, for example, with your personal computer, your personal laptop, you need to have a sharing system that's actually available for everybody, and it's not like you're going to download information into your computer and into your files. This is super important as well, to have a very good legal tech system in place, so everything is safe and everything is organized properly. Because you don't have the chance to go into the office and just ask a coworker, hey, can you print this file for me? Or can you show me this? You need to put measures in place to avoid this kind of situations.
Correctly. And I suppose now for the law office, it's also a big discussion and big measurements are taking place there to be sure that everything is secure and the confidentiality between client and lawyer is respected. And all this principle is actually taking place.
Exactly, especially with all the data privacy regulations in place now, it's very important. And also for law firms, it's very important to be prepared from the onset, because with the pandemic, many law firms were not prepared and were not actually didn't have the measures in place to transition from in face-to-face work to remote work. So in this case, it's very important now to take these measures beforehand because we never know when the next pandemic is going to come. And we need to be more planning and instead of reacting to the situations.
And how is it at your new workplace? Is everything prepared to work remotely or things are also learned on the way, which is normal?
We're actually going through a digitalization process, which is super interesting. But I think when I arrived, they already had all the measures in place. It's a small team, so it's very easy to coordinate. And because we live in the same time zone, everything gets easier. I mean, if anything fails, we can always give a phone call to one another or to have WhatsApp. We have a lot of internal communications that work pretty well. So it's pretty easy to fix anything that goes on in the daily basis. In my case, I've been lucky because I think in the place I work now, they have all this, they already thought about this a long time ago. But I think the most challenging part is the change management part when some people are used to work a certain way. And when you need to collaborate, you need to bring them on board when using some tools, for example. I like to use Trello. I am a legal project manager, so I use a lot of Trello. So I need to evangelize my coworkers in order to have them use it, or instead of sharing files through email, maybe put it in Box or in some other cloud solution. So it's in my case, I've been lucky, but I know that I have some colleagues that they're not so much into the digital world, so it's kind of hard, especially with this when you have generational gaps between the teams, when people are used to work a certain way and have some leadership styles are not really compatible sometimes with remote working, which takes a lot of confidence and it takes a lot of empowerment from people and not micromanagement. So it's that part, I think, is the most challenging part, the change management part.
You said that you do half remotely and half in the office. It is a choice or it is a policy of the law office, especially to bring together these people that maybe are less used with remote work with the ones that are more digitalized from the beginning?
I think that's the idea behind it, the rationale behind it. We have to go to the office once a week. So we have a team meeting, everybody's there. We discuss issues from the week and we try to see each other at least once a week. And then when you do remote work, it's super free. It's not like the company is imposing you to go each given day or 2 days a week or 3 days a week. They just ask you to go this time on Tuesday to team meetings. And then you have to decide by yourself if the work you need to be doing requires a lot of concentration. I do a lot of digital design, for example. So in my case, because I work with Kanban and with very heavy tools, I sometimes say when I have to design a contract or things like that, I like to do it at home because I get more concentrated and it's easier not to get distracted. But if I need to conduct user research or I need to understand what people are doing or how to help them to improve their processes, I need to be there to see what they're doing, ask them, and to be with them during the day so I understand better how to help them. But I think it's super free. I mean, I'm lucky because it's not like we have these very inflexible policies. On the contrary, it's super flexible and everybody can decide what's best for each one of us, depending on the work we do.
Actually, it's funny you mentioned the legal design because I wanted to ask you something about it. How do you implement it in your work and how maybe this can help you when working remotely?
I think it's, for me, the most important part about legal design is not only the visuals, but the understanding the user needs. In my case, when you work remotely and you have a lot of different set of clients abroad and they call you over Zoom and stuff like that, when you have a document, for example, that's easier to understand and it's more visual than only words, it's easier to get their attention. So what I do, for example, in terms of legal design, I use it a lot for internal policies. For example, I redesign internal policies, such as code of conduct or things like that, to make it easier to bring people on board, to make it faster. Instead of giving them, the first day on a job, like a folder with a lot of things to read, I try to, translate these documents into more readable and easy to understand and nonsensical approach. For our clients, for example, we try to take an approach where we do this exercise that we do in marketing. We build buyer personas or customer personas to better understand what they actually need instead of offering them the services as a regular law firm, for example. Like, this is corporate, this is real estate, this is tax. No, we do, you're an entrepreneur, you are a real estate investment, we're going to offer you these kind of services or these kind of services according to your profile. It's all about customer centric. I think it's gravitates towards that, but it's not just the visual part. It's also a lot of understanding what the client needs and also what our lawyers need, because my coworkers are very expert lawyers in different areas, and they're also users. So I need to understand what they need as well in terms of tools and how to understand the client needs. So I had to go through them as well. So they are very special kind of users.
So you're working now as a legal design specialist for this company.
I do a little bit of everything. I do a little bit of project management because it's a very small law firm yet. I do design thinking as well. And I do a little bit of legal operations. I try to manage everything that's outside the technical work of the lawyers. And because we're going through this process of modernization and digitalization, I work very closely with the IT and the marketing department to understand who are our clients, what is our brand, what we can offer. So it's all the fun work in terms of innovation, but really far away from the technical and expert legalese stuff that my coworkers are such good at it. So I guess I get the best part of it.
It's actually amazing that a small law firm, because you said it's small, centers its activity on the client and does so much research on clients and creates these client personas. I know this is a practice for startups and for a lot of other corporations, let's say not in law, even not corporations do that. So it's amazing and indeed very useful to do that. How did it all ended up here? Do you know what was the process for the law firm to choose to go to this path?
I think it has a lot to do with the vision. I mean, first you need to have a vision of what you need to become. And you have to be have a very special kind of leadership. I have very lucky that I have two bosses that are really great at it. They have a very strong vision of where they want to be. And they thought about it this a long time ago because they started seeing that the world of law was changing, actually. It's not like, there's a lot of law firms that are doing what we do. There's a lot of lawyers saying that they're expert in M&A, they're expert in corporate, they're expert in immigration law, but they don't offer like added value. They don't really read the client needs. They just offer you a lot of legalese and complicated words and give you very complicated advice, but it's not really fit for the client. So they were super, super early birds, as a way to say, or early innovators in this case. They saw value in this new value proposition and this new way to see things, because they noticed that the clients, for example, when you have a client that comes because they want to buy a house or an apartment, they might have another set of needs that might come for example, immigration needs or tax needs or corporate needs. So they're not a real estate client. They might be an entrepreneur who wants to move to Barcelona and wants to start a business here. So they needed to buy a house or to rent an apartment to start a business. So we need to shift our mindset to a customer-centric kind of point of view instead of the typical, you know, one time, one spot kind of service and then forget about it. So and this is what's very important, and as well to unify and to standardize the internal practices. For example, when a client comes to the office, we offer them a full cover service, a 360 service, for example. You have multiple needs, so the client needs to feel that he's dealing with the same level of service with each person from the law firm. It's not like he's going to go to a very specific lawyer. He goes to the law firm to get the services, and he knows he's going to get the same level of service for each one of us. So that needs a lot of project management. That needs a lot of standardization, legal operations parts, and make it easy to understand for the client and for the internal users or internal clients that are the technical lawyers to be unified and to understand that the client belongs to the law firm and not to a specific, for example, lawyer.
Mm-hmm. And how is this approach helping the lawyers?
It actually helps them because it forces them to think a little bit outside of the box. And it's also, it's a challenging part because they need to think about the legal issues that the client might encounter from a business point of view and not more only from the law. It's not like the client needs to understand exactly how taxes get paid. He needs to understand why he needs to pay taxes, when, and maybe you don't need to go into much depth, because sometimes when you are a lawyer, I always say this, a lawyer is asking you for a very simple advice and you give them like a full law explanation that they don't really need and they don't understand, and they get scared and they don't, and then they go to another law firm or another provider. It happens a lot. So in this case, it helps them to not be so much overworked, to be better organized, to trust their teams, to trust their coworkers, to work in a more collaborative environment, so they feel like we got their backs and they don't really overwork themselves by trying to impress a client that maybe doesn't need to be so much impressed, but needs to be in, you know, to have their problem resolved or the challenge undertaken.
And how are the clients reacting to a team that is working part-time remote?
It depends on the profile of the clients. For example, when you have clients that are entrepreneurs and they're used to, or digital nomads are used to do this kind of exercise to work remotely, it's fine by them. Some of them prefer to have everything done remotely because some of them are located in a different place. They're not in Barcelona. What we do is that we help people to come to Barcelona to invest here and to have a safe landing for their businesses. So many of them might be, for example, in Canada or in Finland, and they are thinking to move in here maybe next year. So it works perfectly for them. We have some clients that they like the face-to-face kind of service, but they're really, I will say that 99% of them are blended. I mean, some of them prefer to have video calls. Some other ones prefer to have meetings at the office when they're in Barcelona. But it's very strange that we have a client that wants to have like full analog kind of service and they want to have everything face-to-face. It's very uncommon. I haven't seen it so far.
How did remote work for you? Or did you feel some improvement in your personal life or for you yourself? How was it?
I mean, it's good from, I think it's, I have like a double reading. For one hand, I think it's been good because it gives you more freedom to organize your day. It gives you more freedom to be more concentrated when you need to work in something that's super creative, for example. When I do creative work, I like to do it at home. But also, at some point, I also need to be around people. That's going to be like people who are my internal clients or my users. I need to see what they're doing and understand. And maybe if I go to the office and maybe go for lunch with them for an hour or 2 hours, and that would be it. I wouldn't need to be in the office 5 days a week. But for me, it helped me to be more organized. At the beginning, when I started doing this, I made all the mistakes you had to make, means working in my pajamas, taking a lot of breaks and not really being focused. And then I have a change of mindset and I said, no, this is super serious. I need to be as serious as I was when I was going to the office. So I need to, you know, put on my best face, put on my makeup and be available to have video calls sometimes that are actually impromptu or are like improvised. It happens a lot. We need to share your screen. I learned to have, for example, a clean desk in my computer when you share your screen. Little things that you start learning with time. But I think for me, it was a big change because I proved myself that I could do it. And with being super organized and being like I was doing it when I was actually going to the office. But it's not always easy. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of organization.
So if we come to organization, what do you think that there are three main competencies or attributes that a person that works remote should have or should learn at least?
I think it's very important. I don't know if it's a competence or a skill, but you have rituals. For example, I look forward in the morning when I wake up in the morning and you're like all sleepy and you say you're looking forward to your coffee in the morning, maybe to when you do some sports, to respect your rituals are important for you to get the best of you during the day. So in my case, I try to get up at the same time. I do some meditation. I do sports. I take my coffee. I watch the news, for example, and then I take a shower and then I start working. It's very important for you to start working once you are fully aware of what you're doing, not when you're like half asleep or when you're coughing. You need to do it that way. So for me, rituals are super important. And then having also, it's very important to have respect for people's time. For example, I used to work for a company a long time ago that I will finish my work at 11 a.m. and my boss would say, I only have time to review this with you at 8 p.m. Is it okay for you? Because they thought you were home, you were like doing nothing. This is not okay. You need to set boundaries. So you need to be respectful and mindful of people's time. You cannot just pretend that they're all going to be available when you are, because this is not the case. And then I think the third would be to have all the tools in place that you need to do remote working. I mean, to have Zoom, Teams, or whatever your team is using in place, to understand how this works, and to have, I don't know, a stuff in place that is actually a good internet connection and a quiet place if it's possible, if you don't have kids, for example. I think these three things are the most like practical everyday kind of things you need to use. And if you don't know how to use them, you need to get help. And it's always important that for example, if you work with people who are not really good at using Zoom and things like that, have a lot of patience. You need to be super patient. Sometimes people are going to be on mute. Sometimes they're going to have issues sharing screen. Patience is super, super important. You cannot get jumpy or nervous because some of the clients or people are not really good at these tools, because it can happen to you sometimes.
So your road to remote work was a chosen one, or it just happened for the job you looked for to be remote?
I think it was like an accidental kind of thing, because I was working at this insurance company until March 2020, and it was this kind of blended system before the pandemic. But it was with all the things you can expect to go wrong from remote work. It was, as I told you before, that for example, I have everything ready at 11 a.m. and then they will review things at 8 p.m. I didn't have any separation between my personal life and my work life. It was really bad. I left that job. And then a week after, the pandemic came. So I spent a lot of time studying and thinking about what I wanted to do and how I'm going to move forward from that day on in terms of my career. And then I stumbled into this innovation mode, and I found this LCP. I started working there, and then I was introduced to a real remote, fully remote experience with people who understood how to do this. They knew how to do this. They have experience how to do this. So then I learned the importance of the onboarding process and the importance of knowing what they're doing. So they were very good at it. It was a really good experience. And then when things started to clear up with the pandemic, I found this job in Barcelona here. And I also benefit from the fact that they were also learn, and the learning curve was actually very good in terms of remote working. So I've been lucky. I feel super lucky because I have all these good experiences. But I think for many of us, it happens like that, like from one day to another, very rough. And it's good that I have these experiences to actually share them and to learn from them, because I think it's a lot of work to be done. But overall, I think it's been super, super positive.
So for the ones that are listening to us, and maybe they are not yet remote, you think that it is possible, as I also think, but I'm curious, what do you think, to learn everything on the way, so you don't need to be, you know, perfectly prepared to work remote at the moment you make the step?
Yeah, I think it's a transition that is easier than it looks. It's not as complicated as it looks like. It depends of a lot of willpower. I mean, how much time are you going to invest to adapt yourself to this new kind of working? There's a lot of companies that actually started working remotely from the pandemic, and they're not actually thinking of coming back in a long time. So it's something, it's a new normal, a new reality. There's all this movie about digital nomads. So I think it's something that is a trend that's here for us to stay. So what I would recommend to anybody who wants to start working remotely is just to respect the work. I think this is very important, to give the work the solemnity that it actually needs in terms of, you know, all these rituals about getting up in the morning at the same time, and respecting your own times, also your breaks. You sometimes it's super tempting to start working remotely and you sit in your computer and you don't stop until you finish. No, you need to sometimes take a break, go for a cup of coffee, go for a run, or do something to clear your head. But you need to give it the solemnity and the importance that it has. You cannot take it lightly. I think that's super important, because it's super easy as well to, you know, slack off sometimes and you're at home, nobody's watching. No, you need to be serious about it and committed. But I think it's not something that it takes a world of preparation. I think it can happen. You can get better with time, but I would super recommend it, especially if you're working in industries that are super creative and ask you to do a lot of work that takes a lot of thinking. It's good to be home sometimes and fully concentrated on that task.
So what are your plans for the future from now on?
From now on, I'm super excited with this new work I'm doing now. My plan is to start to standardize and to improve some of the internal processes within the law firm to understand better how people work and how to help them to be more productive. In terms of the academic side, I'm trying to put together a special class with Tessa from Legal Creatives about legal project management and legal design, how these two merge. Because in my market that I work, for example, in Spain, Latin America, there still is not mature enough to have, for example, separated functions like legal operations, legal project management, or legal designer. There's still a mix of many things. So I'm trying to get my feet in the water there. So I'm just trying to create all these processes that actually work for these three kind of disciplines. So I'm trying to put together this special class inside the academy to explain to students how to make the leap to this kind of side of the profession. Is super interesting. That it takes a lot of marketing skills and project management skills and different skills as legal design. But I think for me, my career is just to continue to go through this path of innovation. And hopefully this will grow with time and we will see more and more people doing what we do. That would be awesome.
Great. Thank you very much for coming. It's super exciting what you're doing, and it's definitely something very different than what I learned until now. And I always want to hear more stories, and as much difference we have, the best. Thank you very much for joining.
Thank you, Maria. This was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to us and for following with interest the stories behind the professionals of the new generation. Don't hesitate to write to us on the social media pages or by emails what topics or guests you would like to listen to in the Legal Tale podcast. We have LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube accounts. We can hear each other wherever it's easier for you. I would also be very happy to write to me your opinions about the podcast or about the topics debated in its episodes. Until the next episode.